It's crazy when you think about it. There's no codes, no helmets, nothing. They just do it. Okay. So now, this is Jonathan. We are in the first set of slums. We arrived in Mumbai on Wednesday night. This is Thursday night. And I have to tell you something. During the day, we had our cultural indoctrination, where Jonathan took us out in Mumbai, which is basically, the best way to describe it, is New York, but dumpier. More crowded, more dirty, more crazy, much, much more. And one of the things that happened to me was God, like I said, in November last year, God told me to go with Jonathan and gave me specific purpose. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I was like, God, how are we going to do this? We can't afford to do this. And I'm also going to have a 6-7-month-old home and leave her alone with my wife. But God said to go. My job wasn't to worry about the money. It wasn't to worry about them, because my wife is God's daughter first and my daughter is God's daughter first. And if he's calling me to go, he's going to cover them. And when he calls them to go, he's going to cover me either way. And he'll take care of the finances, and our job is to just be faithful. That's it, because he is faithful. So we went there. We had our cultural indoctrination, and I was so freaked out that morning before this picture was taken that when we got back together to have our team meeting, I just said to the team, I was very honest, I don't know why I'm here. I thought I knew why I was here, but I see what I'm seeing. I'm going, God, why did you call me here? I'm very uncomfortable. How do I fit in here in this place? And I didn't know what was going to unfold and happen. And God did not reveal himself till this night, till several hours later, when he showed me why I was meant to be there. And I'll explain that to you as we go along. This is us literally traveling through the first set of slums in Mumbai. That's a little corridor. This is outside, guys. And on each side is a slum. Each side. This is just nothing but a row of slums we're walking through. There's sewage. There's water on the floor. Kids are running around barefoot. There are millions of flies everywhere. Most of the slums are about 9 by 9. They cook, clean, eat in there. They actually pay rent to live there, which is, when you think about it, it's crazy. I didn't realize that. But this is how they live. Most of their doors are rickety doors or sometimes just a tarp. Every roof has a tarp over it because it leaks. And this is just how they live. This is us cramped in one of the homes of one of the kids that goes to the center that Love Never Fails has set up in this slum. The man in the red and the boy closest to us, that's Bill. He's part of our team, and that's Connor, his son. Bill, his wife Trish, Connor, and why am I drawing a blank? Tyler, thank you. Tyler, their family came, and it was kind of cool because Bill was saying the reason why they wanted to go on a family mission trip is their kids were beginning to feel spoiled and privileged, and they wanted to show them what the other world looks like. And at the end of the trip, it was life-changing for the boys. And they were powerful for the Lord, by the way. I think Connor is 15, 14, and Tyler's 12 or 11. And they were powerfully used for God. But here we were in one of the kids' homes, and you can see how cramped we were. And we were praying over this family. The two daughters in this family go to the center. One of them we know is a Christian. The other one we're not sure. The family is Muslim. This is another part of that same slum. You can see how filthy it is and how tight it is. And we're just walking through. This is the center that evening where we came. The kids gather. Kids go to school till 6, so this was about 6:37. They started to come in to do worship. They had a guy who does worship for them, but he handed me a guitar. And it was at that point where I'm like, Lord, what do I do? They don't speak English, at least I didn't think. But they know a lot of, I was surprised again to know some of their, they know some of the English songs. They were able to follow linguistically, I Exalt Thee with me. They were able to follow, what was another song we did? I can't remember right now. But anyway, we ended up doing worship, and even though in spite of the language barrier, that's when the Holy Spirit brought a revelation to me of why he wants me there. And you, this is what you guys prayed for. I remember Danny gave me a prophetic word about in worship. And I remember specifically Rob saying, sing, just sing. And as I started to sing and lead worship, the presence of God totally fell in that room. Totally fell. And this is us, as one of the teaching was going on, but the kids were beginning to be ministered to. Here we're praying over not just the kids, but the staff there. We prayed for healing. We saw some kids healed of a few things. We prayed for needs. We prayed for encouragement. Here they are just worshiping and praying. These are some of the staff that Love Never Fails employs to run this ministry. Here we are at the end of the night with our team and some of the kids. We were like celebrities. Every kid, and this was interesting, every kid, though living in the slum, they all had cell phones. It was so weird, and we found out cell phones are like $5 a month, so they can beg on the street for it, for their plans. Okay, so just to go back, we were there as we were praying over people, and we saw things stirring, and it was interesting to see how the presence of God was beginning to break through within our team. It was at that night where the team became cohesive, and it became very powerful. And it was so interesting because one of the things we realized as a team, each one of us was so unique. We were a 9-man team, and we were so unique that everyone had a specific niche. And it was so cool for me to step back and see somebody work in their area of strength and vice versa and support each other. And one of the things, again, going back to worship, throughout the entire week, it was worship that God used through me that equipped the team to do different things. We met every morning for prayer and worship, and God was there. He showed up in the room powerfully to the point where some of us were kind of laid out for a while. And I began to see that what God was using me for in terms of is to be a cover for this team, a spiritual covering in terms of with worship, but also to just keep an eye out in the spirit. What I didn't talk to you about is when we were in the slums and in some of the homes, as we were praying, crowds would gather. And what I saw is I could see demonic entities on different people's faces as they gather. So as Bill or Trish or Jonathan, you know, or Janu is another member of our team, were praying over people and people were gathering, you can see these people. Because again, you're talking to a Hindu culture that worships millions of different gods, as well as you have a Muslim sect that live there too. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. And you can see the demonic come out. Oh. And so I kept my eyes open and I was just, okay, I bind this spirit in Jesus' name. I bind this in Jesus' name. I cancel its assignment in Jesus' name. What happened on this trip, I shared a little bit last week. Everything, not just the evangelism training that took place, but everything that we did as a church, whether it's freedom ministries, casting out demons from people, if you want to call it that, or just binding spirits and setting people free from things that are influencing them, came back. Words of knowledge, how to pray for healing, it all came. So nothing that we did, I mean, like I said, I felt so equipped going on this trip. It was beyond my own ability. It was all because of what God is doing in this church as we are all being equipped. And God brought it out in his perfect timing. It was awesome. I can't even begin to express that to you. I wasn't thinking about it, wasn't planning on God to do it, but God showed up in the perfect time. He clicked something in my mind and heart that says, remember when you were trained this way? Remember to do it that way? So when we have these trainings here in this church, I really encourage you, get involved in Bible studies because you're being equipped to do this, and you don't have to go to India to do it. You can do it here. Oh. The next day, Friday afternoon, we decided to go to the beach, sort of. We've taken a tour. This is the Arabian Sea. Jonathan had planned to do some street evangelism with us, but this wasn't where we were supposed to do street evangelism. He had some place in mind. But we show up there to take some pictures, and the Holy Spirit showed up. Why? Because we carry his presence. And the funny thing is, while we were driving, I had a vision in the van that we were driving in of being on a beach, on a boardwalk similar to this, of us doing some street evangelism. So when we got there, because I had no idea where we were going, it was what God showed me in the vision on the way there. So I knew God was about to do some stuff there. We got there, and as you can see how dirty it is, even the waters are dirty. And it's hard to see what that sign says, but it's like no loitering, no peeing, no cooking, no laundry. They have that down, but truthfully, right underneath that sign, there's a family doing wash, kid taking a pee. They don't care. They really don't care. And this country is so confused, in my opinion, because they believe in the caste system and they believe in karma. You have the upper caste, lower caste. So you can have a mansion on one side and the slums on the other side, and it's acceptable because that's your lot in life. Across the street is where one of the Bollywood movie stars has a mansion from here. There's a couple of them. And it's crazy because there's people living in the slums, doing their wash and cooking and begging over here, and there's a mansion right there across the street. So we show up. Bill from our team sees these two guys, guy in the blue and the guy in the center in the black, and he just feels led to start witnessing to them. So our team started gathering around him, and there's an interpreter there witnessing, and they didn't need me, so I just started looking and asking the Holy Spirit, what are you doing, Holy Spirit? What's going on? I don't have a picture of him because I kind of went away from the team. But I pulled one of the people with us who interprets, and I said, come with me. And she went with me. And I saw an old man walking with a cane like this down the sidewalk. So I looked at him, and the Holy Spirit said, go heal him. So I went up to him with her, and I used one of Ben Williams' lines that we were taught in the evangelism training, which was simple. Sometimes when I pray for people, they feel better. Would it be okay if I prayed for you? He said, sure. This is, again, through an interpreter. So I asked through her, what happened to him? A year ago, he was in a car accident, and his whole left side was paralyzed. So he hasn't felt anything in his left side. So we started praying. First time I prayed, feelings started to come. We gave glory to God, prayed again. More feelings, started to feel a tingle in his leg. Prayed again, more feeling. I think we prayed maybe 4 or 5 times, and he got full feeling back. God healed him right there completely. He was blown away by that. My next step was to ask him what Ben taught us. Would you like to know who healed you? But he said, I gotta go. And he took off. So I'm like, Lord, that's okay. You touched him. I'm gonna leave him to you. Let you minister him. And it was perfect timing because the very next thing that happened was, okay, we're not there yet, was I saw a guy just standing there kind of shuffling his feet on those rocks that I showed you earlier, just on these rocks right there, just kind of like this. I'm like, Lord, why are you highlighting him to me? Again, I don't have pictures. I'm sorry of that. But and as I'm going, okay, I'm supposed to talk to him. I don't know what to say. So I'm going to be faithful, God, because you're faithful, and just show up there, say hi, and see what happens. So I showed up. I said, hi. And he's like, hi. And then Holy Spirit took over at that point. And I just said, you know, sometimes, again, this is the line Ben Williams taught us. God tells me things about other people to share, to bless them. And interpreter said that to him. And I said, is it okay if I share what God is telling me for you? And he said, yeah. So I said, God wants you to know he loves you so much. He's thinking about you. He hasn't forgotten you. He knows what's going on. And he just adores you. And you should see his face. Because he tells the interpreter, I'm sitting here thinking how all my gods have abandoned me. How I'm all alone. I kid you not. This is what he told the interpreter. My family, I don't have any family. I feel all alone right now. And here God was loving on somebody who was thinking those thoughts that I had no clue was thinking. So we got a chance to pray with him. He accepted the Lord right there. Jonathan took his name and number, and it's connecting him with the church. Because anyone we minister to, and just like those two boys that Bill ministered to, they accepted the Lord. Jonathan connected them with the church or took their number. Because we're not going to do hit-and-run evangelism. It's about relationships. So, and then that boy in the blue, after he got saved, I got a chance to pray for him over his nasal passages. They were healed. And before we left, I had one woman come up to me. And God, for some reason during this whole trip, gave me a specific grace for healing, for full body pain, for eyes, and to pray over barren women, okay, who are trying to have kids. I think I prayed over four women or couples who are trying to have kids, three or four people with full body pain, and three people with eyes issue. So this woman had body pain and eye issue, prayed over her. She was healed. She got saved. Her son, who was watching everything, says to me, tell your Jesus thank you. And that's when I said, you tell him thank you. You can do that. He didn't want to be saved. He was Hindu. But the mother did, and Jonathan's taking care of her. So then this is the next set of slums we went to now Friday night. These were a little higher level slums. In many ways, including being on top of a, what do you call it? On top of a hill. So there weren't as many flies. The first set of slums were next to a dump, too. So these were a little bit better. This is the corridor as we were walking up. You can see the stairs that we were walking up. That's Tyler, I think, walking in front of me. That's a view from the door of where the place is, where the center is set up. Love Never Fails set up. And at these centers, you know, they do tutoring, Bible study, all kinds of different things for these kids. This is another view. So this is inside the center as kids are coming in, ready to do worship. Here they are. They're doing worship being led by the team that runs it. This is a group of boys doing kind of a dance routine. Some of you might have seen a bit of this on Facebook. Here's all the kids when they finally got there. They were all told to wear their Love Never Fails shirts. Here's the team doing a little more worship. I love this picture. You can see the heart, man. Some of these kids were so passionate for the Lord. It's the final picture we took. Here, I got a chance to give the word to the kids. And I talked to them about praise and worship and how praise and worship enters you into the presence of God and what happens when you enter into God's presence. Did it in a very practical way, which the kids needed to understand why we worship. And Rodney, who's somewhere over there, he's the one who heads the center, is doing amazing work. And he was like, thank you for sharing that word. The kids needed this. Kids needed to know why we do what we do. And then afterwards, again, presence of God was all over. We prayed for a couple of kids to be healed. We prayed for their needs. We laid hands. We imparted. I felt led to impart on a specific individual. Just like we read in the New Testament, Paul laid hands on Timothy as a father to a son to impart a leadership blessing and the anointing of God on him. I really felt strongly to impart that on one of their leaders, which God used me to do. So we saw some amazing things take place here as well. It was an awesome time. This might have been my favorite time. Everything was awesome, but just being with these kids in this time, it was just full of life because these kids had a lot more joy than the other slums, and you've sensed a lot more hope. So the team here is doing an amazing job. One of the things we found out on this trip, Jonathan stayed after we came back. They've got two centers. He's going to open up a third center in a third slum in Mumbai. Plus, he's already started work to open up a second children's home, but in Mumbai, because the other one is in Nagpur. This is what I tell you. Jonathan and Love Never Fails are doing amazing things. He also went to Calcutta because a pastor there asked him to come because they want to open up another center in Calcutta. So I'm telling you, Love Never Fails is the real deal. If there's any mission that we needed to support, and I'm so glad that we do, it's them, because they are real. So after that, we went to bed. Saturday, we went to Nagpur. And as we got out of the airport, here's our picture they put on a banner on the van that they had, which was pretty cool. We didn't expect that at all of our team. This is the orphanage or children's home that Love Never Fails sponsors. We came in, the kids did a little welcome dance routine for us. Here's Bill and his sons taking a picture with some of the kids. They have a music room every day. They do tutoring. They have study time, Bible study, worship, and they have a music teacher that Love Never Fails pays to come in and give music lessons to the kids, which was awesome because we got a chance to take part of it because Bill also plays guitar. So they had a couple extra guitars. We sat there. We had a whole fun time of just teaching music and worship with the kids. It was a lot of fun. And one of these kids is an amazing conga player. I was blown away. This kid can play. He has rhythm. This is their dining area, kitchen of the children's home. This is us. That's Trish in the center with one of the kids. The days we were there, we each took a kid. We'd sit down and tutor them. And God knows, they gave me a kid with trigonometry. Like, I know what trigonometry is nowadays. I'm like, you can give me, like, English or comic book something. You got to give me trigonometry. But anyway, we had fun. It was awesome. I'm like, you teach me. This is during Bible study time and worship. Each member of our team took a night of worship. Again, that's why everyone did something. It was so awesome. Kids sitting during worship and that we joined them for. I forget this woman's name. It's hard to pronounce. But she and her husband are the den mothers of this orphanage. They feed them. They take care of them. They live on premises. They've got 10 kids currently in the orphanage. They're waiting for permits because they can house up to 25. But the problem is it's state permits they're waiting on and approvals. So we got to keep praying for that. That's one of the kids coming into the kitchen. Okay. I don't want to go there yet. What's awesome, wait, let me see. Okay, sorry, that picture should not have been there. But anyway, these two kids, Vicky and I can't remember her name offhand, but she's in the back. They're celebrating birthdays this month, so we got a chance to celebrate their birthdays. That little girl on the right, her name is Pyle. Cutest little girl in the world ever. Jonathan and Shiny wanted to adopt her. She's 6 years old. You'd want to adopt her too when you meet her. But unfortunately, the way the government works is you can't pick who you want to adopt. They tell you who to adopt. So they couldn't just adopt her. But she's awesome, cute as can be, kids. Okay, this slide, that night, we went to a church. We didn't know what we were going for. We were celebrating something. We went to a church on a Friday night. But what it wasn't really a church. It was somebody's house on the bottom, but they built two rooms on the back, on the top of her house that weren't there before. And one was like a dining area, lunch area. And this is where we were. Where we were sitting there, we had a little bit of food. Before the food came, but we were sitting there doing some stuff, and we still didn't know what was going on. This is everybody. People from all over the town came for this thing. You can see how cramped it was. Well, turns out, right there, I don't know if you can see that sign, in the other room is the actual sanctuary. This woman who lives downstairs had a living room that was 9x9. This church has been meeting in her 9x9 living room for years. And I'll show you a picture of that in a second. And but the congregation wanted a church building or needed a place to meet. She donated the top of her house. Guess who paid for all the construction? Love never fails. So this plaque is in honor of Love Never Fails for donating all the money. We had a hand in it because we donate and support Love Never Fails. We have a hand in this, guys. All right? This is now inside the church. As we were praying after a time of worship, Jonathan gave the word as guest of honor, and we had a time of worship, and this is Janu. You're going to get to know Janu because we're going to be friends for a long time. But Janu is praying over people. He had a special grace on him. Janu came in going, I don't know why I'm here. I'm not a pastor. I'm not this. I'm not that. This guy's got so much in him, it's ridiculous. And God brought it out because he stepped out in faith. It was awesome to see. But here was another thing with worship. And I heard Rob's voice exactly say, sing. Because it was time to pray, and Jonathan's like, okay, team, go pray for people. And I wasn't supposed to pray. I was supposed to pick up a guitar and sing and change the atmosphere while they are praying for people. So I just said, can I just sing, please? And Jonathan, obviously I'm going to respect those who are in authority. Jonathan gave me permission to. So just began to worship, and you can just feel the atmosphere change in the room. And everybody was there for prayer, and things happened to the point where they had to tell us to stop praying because people had to eat. So here we are praying. It's only picture of me you'll see. Leading worship. This is the room. We're eating there. This is the room that church was meeting in. 9x9, if it was that big. Oh, sorry. That's it. That's how small it was. Imagine 20, 30 people trying to cram in this little room. So they're going to need to tear down the wall because that church is going to grow. So then this Sunday, this is the church we went to Sunday morning. It's called Love India Family Church. It's a spirit-filled Pentecostal church. I preached this Sunday, and I had no idea what God wanted to do. But then God showed me when I showed up. Here, this guy right there is not the pastor, but he is one of the top 100 pastors in all of India. He just happened to be there that day. His church, which is another part of India, has 6,000 members. They planted like 34 or 40, something like that, churches all over India. This is one of their church plants. So he was here visiting this church, and he was doing kind of like a Sunday school lesson before church starts. Ladies in blue are their worship team. It's their worship team when worship started. This is their worship team, the musicians. Keyboard player and a drummer on a drum machine. So this is the senior pastor, this is the co-pastor there. And they're both amazing men, on fire for the Lord. It was awesome. So I got a chance to preach. I preached on the body being the body. That's what the Lord told me to preach on. How the body's meant to be equipped to do the work of the ministry, support with the pastoral leadership. And let me tell you, heaven broke out. Jonathan, the team said, when you started up there, your face changed. The presence of God was all over you. And you can just feel the atmosphere in the room change. And we were there for another hour and a half praying for people. They had to kick us out. God was moving so powerfully. I prayed for two people, two barren women to be healed here. Another woman, you know, for body pain, all that. We especially prayed over their pastors. And it was just amazing to see. And that gentleman that I showed you earlier, the head of these churches, said to me afterwards, he's like, this was the most important message this church ever needed to hear. I was blown away by that word. So I was thrilled by that. So now, next day, this is now a slum in Nagpur. Jonathan is looking to start another center in a slum in Nagpur. He's never been to this slum. We were just going, taking a tour to see for the very first time. And there was poop everywhere. It had rained. There was mud. The girls with us didn't wear the right shoes, so they stayed on the van. So the guys went. But, yeah, it's just crazy. As you can see what they look like. This is inside one of the homes there. Jonathan doesn't know anybody. We were just meeting people. Again, things were happening in a mighty way. This is the guy chopping wood for fire for people to cook outside their slum tents or homes. He sells the wood. This is a cul-de-sac, for lack of a better word, in that slum. Okay. So we were there scoping, seeing what God was doing, just to get a feel, and God gave Jonathan visions of what it could look like. So there's going to be a new center for the kids started in that area. Again, what they're doing is amazing. So we go to this on Tuesday afternoon now. This is Jesus Calls. Jesus Calls was started by the Benny Hinn of India, their version of Benny Hinn. These are deliverance churches. Their focus is delivering from demonic oppression. They have services almost every day, and they just pray for healing and deliverance. So Bill gave the word here, but it was interesting. That's one of their pastors right there preaching and playing the keyboard. He gave the word, but there was something that needed to break. So God gave me something to release, but I had to wait for the time. So I got up there when the right time was done. And they normally said you only get 1 hour. We ended up there for 2 hours. But I just said, guys, you need to release your praise right now. Heaven's about to break open. Things were about to happen right now. You need to just start praising the Lord. So they went back into worship. And let me tell you, the place erupted. The presence of God fell. The demonic started to manifest. But God showed up in a powerful, powerful way. I know it's going to be very hard to see, but there's a woman sitting right here, an old lady right here. This is now as things started to happen. She's right there. This woman, I call her the snake lady. As God's presence started to manifest, her tongue started to go like a snake. She started literally slithering on the ground, like a snake. She was oppressed by some snake demon or something. And, huh? I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah, yoga, a type of yoga or whatever it might be. Again, they're into different things. But it was the craziest thing. And a couple of the guys on the team said, you need to pray for her. And they go, no, I ain't touching her. Well, God gave me specific words for some people there before I got to her. One woman, I said to her, you need to praise God. You're not singing. God wants to break through in your life, and you need to start praising him, giving him thanks before, because then it's going to happen. So there's a lot of things that took place here. Got a chance to pray, again, for barrenness, for full body pain, for all kinds of stuff to take place. But then finally I got to this woman, because I knew this was going to be a little intense. So I wanted to make sure I was ready. So I'm like looking at her, and I'm going, in the name of Jesus, shut up. Stop. I cancel your assignment. I bind you in the name of Jesus. And she's getting crazy, and I bind you in the name of Jesus. And just not yelling, because some of our other team members, again, this is why we equip people for the ministry. This is how we train. And I'm not saying they did anything wrong, but our authority and power comes from our relationship with Jesus, our intimacy with him, not how loud we get or animated we get. Because some of the other people were screaming, be gone, demon, stop, blah, blah, blah. You know, or even praying in the spirit. And you don't need to pray in the spirit for the demon. You need to shut their mouths. Just shut them up and speak to the person. So shut it up. And as I prayed to be bound, because I can't cast it out unless she wants it casted out. Because Bible says, if you leave your house open and you don't fill it with something, it's going to come back even stronger with seven of its friends. So my job was to bind it. Well, as I bound it, all of a sudden the woman just collapsed. She just collapsed and was slain by the presence of God and touched by God. So I told Jonathan he needs to let the pastor know. They need to work with her to close every door that she's opened in the past. Repent, and that's how you shut the door to the demonic. You repent, simply say, God, I'm sorry for opening the door back when I did, whether it was yoga, whether it was, you know, worshiping other gods, psychics, things like that. And then open a new door for the Holy Spirit and fill your temple up, fill your house up. So, but I wasn't able to do that with her because she was out cold in the presence of God. But we told the pastor to minister to her and use her. But it was just crazy what God did. And I'm so grateful because I'd never experienced that in my life. That's the other pastor there. Again, this is during prayer and worship. Okay. Trying to remember where we were here real quick. Okay, yeah, that was the slum that I just showed you. Oh, okay. We're getting to the end here. This little area, I want you to picture this for a second. This is a wall. Behind the wall is a power plant, electrical plant. This is a sidewalk. Right here is the street. Okay? From the top of the wall to the bottom of the sidewalk are these tarps. They're just tarps. And there are people, now this is a stand, but you'll see better next pictures like that. Top of the wall to the bottom of the street. And this is from our van, so they're right on the street, the sidewalk's there. This is people living there. This is their home. This family that we met, Jonathan didn't know them. This was a new seed that was planted, because I'm going to jump ahead real quick. Out of our time with these people, a food center is going to be established by a local pastor through Jonathan and Love Never Fails, a feeding center to feed these kids and present them with the gospel. Okay? So this ministry was born by accident. We were just driving, and Jonathan was saying, you know, these people live like this. And this family's been living like this for 18 years in under this tarp. And the funny thing is, these are new tarps. The day before we drove by, there was a different set of tarps. There was a rainstorm that destroyed them, so somebody stopped by and gave them new tarps. Okay? But we just happened to stop by, and Bill was curious what it looked like on the inside. So Jonathan said, come on down. So we went down and looked inside, and there's a couple pictures you'll see of them inside. And it's just rags on the floor that they sit in and their minor belongings. But they live like this. Kids are born in these things. Okay, it's grandpa, grandma, daughter who's married with a kid, and a sister-in-law who's married. So anyway, they're starting a center. They're going to be presented with the gospel. They're going to feed them once a week as a beginning point. So it's amazing how God worked. This was not intended, but God started something, all because people were willing to do something, step out of the comfort zone a little bit. See? Again, this is how they live, night and day. Oh, okay. This is Stravia right there. I know Danny and Debbie know Stravia. She used to be Jonathan's student when he taught at a Metuchen school. She and her family were already in India. She's a Christian, but she met us where we were to minister with us. So this is basically the family, and as you can see, the inside of that. Kids. Okay, this is the grandfather. I'll show it right there. This is the grandfather. The grandfather has a catheter coming out of his body into a plastic milk bag. Not a hygienic medical bag, a plastic milk bag that's tied with a string so the catheter doesn't spill out. So he walks around with this catheter. This is the poorest of the poor. That's why I came back. I said there's the rich, there's the poor, there's poorer, and there's the poorest. And here is the poorest right there. What you see is Bill. Oh, okay. Bill giving him some stuff. What we did on our last day in India was put all my clothes and shoes in a bag. Garbage bag, big black garbage bag. Bill and his family gave all their stuff in a bag. And we just stopped off at this family and just gave them everything. I literally just came home with the clothes that I was wearing on the flight back. So we gave them all our stuff because they have nothing. And what was interesting about this, you want to talk about God's grace and providence. Next to this is like not a bus stop, but almost a pickup place where people get picked up by cars to go to work. And there was a group of men every day that would get picked up or dropped off just where these people live. And they watched us all week, stop by twice a day in the morning and at night to talk to these people. They told us nobody ever talks to them. Nobody stops by. They came and asked us, why are you guys doing this? Why do you care about these people? And we just said, we're just showing them the love of God. That's all. That's all. There's no agenda here. So this became a testimony to this group of men that go to work every day that everyone ignores these people with. Because they notice these things. It's amazing what God did on this trip. Truly amazing. One of the last story, and we're going to stop. In one of the hotels, divine appointment, one of the workers, who was one of the cleaning ladies, one of our team members met her. They connected. They brought her into our prayer, our morning time devotion. She wasn't a Christian. We prayed over her because her husband is a drunk and abuses her and beats her because she's barren. So we prayed for her, for a child, and we prayed for her husband as well. She accepted the Lord while we were there. She's been connected to a church. Just, this is what God does. Now, we don't have to go to India to see God do these things. He can do these things here. And there's many more I can talk to you about and show you, but I think this is plenty. But it was just an awesome time. And the two things I want you to get out of it is I was so grateful at the fact that this church is an equipping church that trained me, even as your pastor, trained me to go and do what we did. Because I may appear confident to you, but a lot of times I'm very insecure, and I struggle with that insecurity when it tries to show its head. And I'm not very confident at times, but my confidence came from him, okay? And the fact that I had solid training that I can lean back on, that I can go, oh, yeah, this is what we were taught. This is the format. Not that there aren't other formats and ways of doing things, but the fact that we were trained a way, a solid way, a proven way, that this can be done, and it can be done in Keyport, and it can be done in India. Same way. It's just amazing what God does. And the second thing is your prayers, man. Your prayers, there's a power. There's something when we come together and pray. Let God do what he wants to do. Be open to him. You know, next time Jonathan is here, he's still in India right now. Man, let him know because how much you appreciate what God is doing. And pray for them because they're doing so, so much that it blows my mind. Everyone we ran into, every pastor we ran into, every church we were in, he had his hand in. Love never fails as influence. And as Christians, that's what God asks of us, to be influencers for the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to close. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, give God glory. Like I said, I know this was different today, but I wanted to share, and you guys had a big part in this. I couldn't do what I did without you. And Love Never Fails can't do what they do without our church, support and prayer. So know how real this is. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for Love Never Fails. We thank you for Jonathan and Shiny and all they do. We're asking for more. We're asking for an increase in finances for them. We're asking for an increase in divine appointments, for connections, for things to happen, Lord, that they weren't even expecting, just like with this group of people that we met. And Lord, we're asking right now in your name, Jesus, that you just come and speak into every one of us here. That, Lord, we don't walk in fear. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. That what we do in your name, in your strength, in your power, in your love, in your courage, for your glory, God. That we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I feel like we need to just close out just a little.